Hello and welcome to Databook, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, the senior editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. In this episode, we talk with Dr. Pawan Jindal, the founder and CEO of Dorina Solutions, a healthcare technology company. Dorina offers interoperability and analytic solutions to healthcare providers and insurers. We talked about data portability and the progress toward interoperability. He also discusses the thorny problem of the duplication of patient data. We also discussed artificial intelligence and the government's attempts to provide some guidance for AI in healthcare. And we also talked about his journey as a physician and founder of a technology company. It's a very interesting conversation, so please join us. Well, thank you for joining us on today's Databook podcast. We have a very special guest this today. It's Dr. Pawan Jindal, the founder and CEO of Dorina Solutions. Dr. Jindal, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Hey, Ron, thanks so much for having me.
Well, appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Let's start with some very basics. Just talk a little bit about your background and about your company.
Sure. So I'm Pawan Jindal, as you said, the founder, CEO of Dorina Solutions. My background is I am a physician from training, did my medical degree from India. I have a master's in health informatics from here. And what I always say is like I'm a patient in multiple countries, so as an informatician, as a clinician, but really have had the opportunity, not just as a patient, but also, work within technology, implementing technology solutions, not just in US, but, in many other places too. Dorina Solutions, our company, we're based in St. Louis, have been in business for about 14 years now. We focus on healthcare technology solutions, and really what we claim as our claim to fame is like we really simplify the regulatory requirements with healthcare workflows to build the best of the solutions. I mean, we have the largest number of providers, one of the largest numbers of providers in the country today using us for many of the value-based care reporting. We were the first company to get fully certified for Cures Act regulations. I mean, 2 years ahead of the second with some of the largest, EHR. So, over the 14-year history, we have brought multiple solutions to the market that include an EHR, patient solutions, and regulatory solutions, and kind of continue to do that. And again, like the one of the latest thing that we have in the market, our latest solution, MeldRx. It's really kind of the all of the previous solutions coming together where we are now working with app developers, kind of doing our part of how to bring more and more innovative solutions into healthcare, again, leveraging the latest standards and regulations altogether.
With that the app development, I'm really curious to hear just your perspective. Obviously, there's so much talk about like developing different healthcare apps. Like, as you work with these different developers, what are the things that are needed to make these apps really do what companies want them to do? Like, what are the keys to success, or maybe even the pitfalls to avoid?
Yeah, so it really depends on sometimes the app, but having interacted with so many developers on one side and worked with many EHRs on the other, I'll say is like the biggest issue right now with the developers is always access to the data. It's unbelievable how in healthcare the data portability is still a big issue. Again, the recent regulations are really helping it with the FHIR, other standards. It's moving towards it. But we still have some ways to go. But it is the number one issue. Like, okay, there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of great minds out there coming up with the greatest ideas. But they all get stuck in that path where before you can get to the app, how do I get the patient data? How do I get that connectivity to the system that I want to connect with? And that's kind of where we are trying to kind of simplify it and say, hey, focus on the big idea. You are aware the executive order on the AI, and we are expecting a big surge now, just on the AI apps, and the potential of that is so huge. So how can you just focus on that and not worry about the access kind of is, what we believe is the number one issue, and what we are trying to, actively solve.
The Biden administration's issue of the executive orders has drawn a lot of attention. Could you just talk a little bit more about that? What do you think is the significance of it? What do you think the implications are going to be?
Yeah, so you know, we've all used ChatGPT now. We all know what AI can do, but you know, there's always the buzz around what it can do and what the reality is. And when you talk about AI specifically in healthcare, I mean, there's a lot of things, right? It's a heavily regulated industry. You know, what does it really mean? Is it just like a patient going and trying to look at their symptoms through ChatGPT, or is it a provider actually using it as a clinical decision support system and making decisions based on that? So what the executive order basically is doing is setting up some guidelines. It is a very early stage of saying that, okay, these are some of the things we need to start thinking about. We recently came from, you know, the health conference, and we had the opportunity to interact with many app developers that are already in advanced stages of building many of those apps. So this, I think, would definitely help set some of the guidelines out there. But again, I mean, there's a lot of unknown still out there as to say how this, you know, comes in there. So kudos to the government to at least taking a stab in there. But I always say it's not the rule, it's the execution that really matters. So really curious to see how this all gets implemented and, you know, kind of what is the teeth in that where you know, when someone doesn't follow those, how those come together. But at least we have taken the first step towards it to say that, okay, how can it be regulated? And the rules, the order specifically mentions healthcare. So expect a lot of reactions in the healthcare industry, you know, to this EO.
You were talking also about like just the access to data and the importance of like getting that. And interoperability has been talking about for such a long time now. And you've already talked about some of the struggles we've seen. Are you encouraged with at least seeing progress, or are you just more frustrated that we're not farther along than we should be? What's your take?
So that's a great question, right? It's like, and I'll say, if you depends on what stage do you ask, right? If I say, okay, based on what we would have expected 10 years ago, I would say it's definitely discouraging when the first meaningful use came together and we were expecting things to move fast. You know, it is really not where it should have been after the amount of, you know, the taxpayer dollars and everything was, you know, spent on it. Having said that, I would say the last like 4 to 6 years have definitely seen, you know, progress. I would say fire and standards being set that way are now being used a lot in the market and are definitely making an impact. I think definitely COVID helped a lot. It did kind of, you know, create this urgency in the market, how much healthcare, how much data interoperability is needed, which has created new opportunities, which kind of brought like, you know, if there's a silver lining out of everything that happened, I mean, telemedicine took a big surge. I mean, just because people were now using it. So I overall, I would say it is progressing as technology vendors, as you know, the company kind of based in behind it, we will say, or involved in it, we would obviously want to see it faster. We think is like the regulations are there, the rules are being applied, but the execution is a little slow, but it is definitely happening. So overall, I would say we are definitely personally happy with what the direction we are seeing. We just wish it would have happened a lot faster, but you know, that's okay.
Well, we're talking about patient data, and one area that's starting to get a little attention, and maybe not quite as much attention as it should, is the duplication of patient data, which seems to be a problem that needs some more attention. How serious is duplicate patient data?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Ron, and I'm so glad you are tackling this issue, because it usually doesn't get the attention it should actually when we talk about interoperability and you know, just data portability in general. So first, just to set some context, right, is like say when we talk about a data duplication error, it's mostly what we are talking about is you know, patient being created twice in a health system or as a physician practice or at a single, you know, location. It's not the same issue as like, you know, a patient kind of trying to go to another facility and trying to find it. So the issue that is usually the main issue here is always like, okay, you know, I am a patient at a system and I went there after a year or a month or other things and kind of, you know, I've been registered twice. So what I always call is it's more of a patient identification error rather than, you know, kind of a different error. And And there are various reasons kind of how it happens. I mean, and most commonly what we say is like, it's probably always the human error. And we like to say the human error can be divided into two broad categories, right? It's like, one is obviously the person that is sitting behind the desk that is adding the patient, asking the patient first name, last name, you know, there and not being, not kind of searching enough and, you know, finding it and creating a duplicate record. I mean, that's the most common cause that at least I have seen in my experience, how duplicate records get created. But then also the onus is in some cases also towards the patient. And, you know, it's like, okay, them not giving the right, you know, sometimes the names are misspelled or there's a middle name or, you know, other name or name changes. I mean, and they don't realize that they might already be in the system. So it can kind of happen. You know, that's the most common ways it happens. But also in recent years, especially like, you know, as the technology has grown, like a single facility or a single hospital system could have, you know, multiple systems across their radiology or labs or, you know, AD registration. So it leads to multiple, the patients being registered in multiple, you know, systems. And that's kind of where it definitely, you know, creates the, you know, those issues. And also like, you know, when a system acquires another system and they do a reconciliation of patients, I think that also has led. One of the other things I can think of is recent times, the EHR consolidation. So many EHRs are being bought by other EHRs and then some of the EHRs go out of practice or like basically are there. And then those patients are brought in, they all kind of lead to this, you know, duplication. So it is definitely an issue that is out there that needs to be resolved before, you know, we can really move to data interoperability. So really glad that, you know, it's getting the recognition and you bringing this up.
So you mentioned some of the human errors, and I hope this isn't too simplification, but is it sometimes even just as simple as like somebody entering in Johnny instead of John
and exactly. Got
three different John Smiths all of a sudden and the records kind of become a mess?
That's exactly what it is. It's like, and again, it happens on both the sides, is whether the person searching for, you know, like the first name Michael versus Mike, I mean, you know, and things, and them not able to search and they're not searching enough before they actually, you know, add it and they go ahead and add another patient. And now you have two records of the same patient in that system.
And this seems like a problem that can be for providers and payers as well. What can be done to sort of mitigate some of these problems?
Yeah, so it is a huge problem. I mean, it's like, you know, first, obviously it can create like, you know, treatment problems, but it is also a patient safety issue. And you know, where you could have two records, none of them are complete. And then, you know, the provider is basically making a decision based on one record, not having the complete record. So definitely this is, you know, something that needs to be resolved. And again, I feel like there is multiple, you know, levels at which this can be resolved. And the first, I think, and again, might not be the favorite one, but I think there is a big change that is happening in the industry right now is with patient being actively involved in their healthcare and you know, patient having access to their healthcare can be a big factor. Like if patient education is there and the patient is walking in there and they're trying to add them saying that, okay, no, I think there is a record in there. I know I have been there. Or pushing in there or bringing their records. What one of the things is like, you bring your own data right now. I mean, it's a big thing. We have a lot of informed patients. So I think patient education and things that are coming out of Cures Act would definitely help towards, you know, reducing this going forward. But what can be done today? I mean, I think there's like things at the organization level, and then there are some things probably at a global or a national level. At the organization level, just like you said, this is like there can be better training, you know, just the staff kind of knowing that, okay, search a little more. But then again, if I can go back to the executive order today and talk about AI, I mean, you know, there's a lot more ways AI can actually help reduce this and make probability match, right? If I'm searching for John Smith and a date of birth, it can try to find some other probable matches and show to that user at the point of care. At the point of registration that, you know, kind of what, how we can do to, you know, reduce it. There are many other technology, you know, level solutions is like how you can have better identifiers. But one of the things that I think in recent is really catching, is finally coming to a little to the front is like, you know, having what is known as a universal patient identifier. This has been brought up many times in the past. There's been a political debate about it around the privacy and other concerns around it. Recently, I think it's kind of got the blessing now, and there's multiple initiatives, you know, moving towards it. So I think that's really what will help in solving this at a very you know, root level. I mean, something where I am coming in, I have a unique identifier. And one other thing I would just say again, I am seeing a lot, and I saw recently a lot being used is like identity solutions from third party. So you know, we are all familiar with now is like if you're walking to the airport, you know, the CLEAR service, I go in there, I don't even have to take my ID card. I mean, I just scan my eyes or scan my fingerprints and, you know, I can access it. There is solutions like that now being built, you know, where you can tie the identity and there is better patient identification. CLEAR actually launched a solution recently in healthcare too. So I think it will take a combination of, you know, the patient level, organization level and the national level, but this is something, you know, as combined together can move towards a solution.
Well, I also wanted to ask you about one of your solutions, the MyMIPS score, which I guess helps those organizations deal with the merit-based incentive payment system and determining Medicare payment adjustments. Could you talk about that solution and how that helps organizations with their MIPS compliance?
Yeah, so MyMIPS score is a solution we actually launched in 2016. So MIPS basically stands for merit-based incentive payment system. So it's basically the program under the quality payment programs, which incentivizes, you know, providers or, you know, creates penalties for them following a particular program that's created that is split across quality, you know, interoperability, cost, and, you know, other factors. So what we have is we have basically, you know, taken all those regulations. There's a lot of scoring systems and other things that go into it, and we have built it into a simple dashboard. So we work with many EHR vendors across the country to, you know, like it's really telling the provider is like, hey, don't click this button just for the sake of clicking it. How does that, you know, clicking this or selecting this property or selecting this thing really helps you, you know, align it. So our goal with whether it is MyMIPS score or any of the other regulatory solutions that we provide is to just make sure that it really aligns with the physician workflows. Today, we have one of the largest number of providers that actually use that solution to submit the reports. But that's kind of how we combine it with some of our other solutions to say, hey, you're using our Cures Act. You know, we can actually tie it together with and getting you the other incentives that are aligned with MIPS.
I wanted to ask you this when you were talking about like establishing the company over 10 years ago. What led you to actually founding the company? Was there any aha moment or sort of tipping point when you realize this is what you wanted to do and this is the company you wanted to create?
Yeah, Ron, it was. So I in my earlier career, after I did my informatics, I actually, you know, worked as a consultant and worked with some of the leading hospitals in, you know, where I implemented EHR systems and other systems. And when we were expecting our first son, my wife actually developed a very severe case of, you know, morning sickness, basically a case that is like in less than 1% where she was not able to like drink a sip or anything. She'll do it and, you know, she'll basically throw up. And otherwise she was usually okay. So what had happened during that time was like, you know, I was still consulting. I was traveling around the country and, you know, she'll just travel with me because most of the time she'll be okay. Other than the time then, you know, we'll need to go to the ER every second day and get her an IV. And when I will be talking to them, I will be telling them, hey, I have a copy of her records. Here is what she needs. I know what she's going into. And no, they will be calling the provider and you know, there will be all that stuff that goes together. And really the one of the moment there was is when she was admitted in one of the hospitals that I had actually implemented the system. And I saw, you know, one of the nurse struggling with the system and me trying to tell her, hey, this is how you need to do it. This is go where search the, you know, the record in there. So that's kind of, you know, where both of us realize is like, okay, what am I trying to do system? So once our son was born, you know, we kind of came together and we started the company more towards, you know, like how can we actually have patients access to the records? You know, this was before iPhone. So we pivoted to actually bringing, you know, building an EMR, building multiple solutions. But it's amazing how, you know, 10 years later, we came back to the same idea. And today that's kind of what we are working with is like how to help developers build the patient solutions and kind of, you know, have patients be actively involved in their care.
Is there anything that you wish you knew then that you could pass on to other founders as they're building their companies? Like, what do you wish you'd known a few years back when you were really just getting going?
I'll say it's just like, I mean, if what I would have known is like, you know, you don't know how the market, how the healthcare market would adapt. It is slow. I mean, it is like, you know, don't base your solution on something that is purely on regulatory. So, you know, one of the things we did was as we developed the solution, we brought it into the market. We were trying to align it with, you know, with the regulations and some of the meaningful use coming up. I mean, if you really want innovation in healthcare, you have to move at a speed and you have to be at a pace where you can, you know, drive, like you can basically help the regulatory kind of influence it. And this is, again, something that I feel hopefully will happen with AI. But if there is one thing I could, you know, like say change or tell myself if I could go back 10 years is like, you know, believe in it, what you're doing and move it, you know, at your own pace or try to do it. Don't try to pause it or slow it down based on, hey, there's a regulation coming up. This regulation will actually add catalyst to it. Innovation, or especially in healthcare, I think sometimes doesn't happen, you know, that way. So
we've been talking about AI, and I'd just be curious, what advice would you offer hospitals, health system leaders, providers that they're seeing all this hype about AI and know they need to be utilizing AI in their business? What are some of the smart steps they can be taking to really utilize AI in the right way that can really help their businesses?
Yeah, so it really varies a lot based on you know, where all can you apply AI, right? And the use cases can be as different as we said about just identifying a patient versus actually using it at point of care. So all of these will require different levels. You know, as I said, it's like we met like, you know, like close to 100 different app developers recently, listening to different ideas of how they are building a very small, like, you know, nephrology focused or a particular specialty focused workflows that can help a provider at point of care. But then there's a whole lot of happening around, like, you know, the billing models is like, how can you reduce denied claims? How can you reduce just the medication errors or like, you know, other things around it. So I think, again, it will, I would just say as you know, my thoughts is like, be open to it. I mean, you know, again, we are in a healthcare industry. We don't jump to, you know, just implementing solutions, but also don't just have that blockage or this is a buzzword. It is not the buzz or it is not the way, you know, something just comes and goes. It's here to stay. I mean, we have seen that happen. There's numerous discussions already happening in healthcare. So definitely be cautiously optimistic, if I can just say that, but it's definitely going to happen. And I think the next year is going to be really the big year where we'll see this all coming together.
Well, looking ahead at Dorina in the future, say 3 years, 5 years from now, are you cautiously optimistic or are you extremely optimistic about the company's prospects in the next few years?
Oh, we are extremely optimistic. We are basically, you know, all our current solutions around, you know, fire and MIPS and other things, we are obviously putting all our effort and investment into investing in a developer platform because we think, you know, AI will be a huge part of it. So it's really about, you know, the appification of healthcare, what we're referring to. How do you basically build all these and put them into, you know, the solutions that can then be brought to the market? We think that will play a huge, huge role. The base is already created, you know, with the regulation, with the adoption, but this is where the private sector will really start meeting the regulatory and you know, start implementing it. And honestly, we are already seeing it. I mean, there's enough apps out there. I hope the executive order or some of these regulations don't slow it down. But, you know, we definitely want those, you know, guardrails in there. But we are very optimistic about the direction this is going.
And I'm just thinking with your background in the company, you're also an MD too. How do you think that's helped you in terms of helping the company grow and thinking, does it help you in terms of thinking about the clinician's perspective as well in terms of some of these tools?
Oh, definitely, Ron. I think it's like I'm a clinician first and then a technology person. So, you know, for me, it is it's really helped us, because when I write code, you know, which I love to do it, is I can actually think first, okay, how is a physician looking at it? I mean, like, how am I basically seeing it? It's not about just putting grids and dropdowns on a screen. Sometimes it's like, you know, working closely with thinking of the workflow. What does it ultimately do for my patient? How does it improve the clinical care? So I feel really blessed that, you know, I got the opportunity to be able to do that transition and work with a lot of my peers over the years to, you know, drive some of these solutions. But yeah, I mean, all our team is, you know, has a background in healthcare. So we definitely feel, you know, you're leading from a healthcare and into technology is definitely an advantage.
I know we're starting to get nearer the end of our window. Just wanted to ask, like, what are some final thoughts you'd like our audience to be thinking about in terms of your company and some of the solutions that you offer? What are some takeaways you'd like to leave with our audience?
I'll just say this, like, you know, I mean, healthcare is at a very interesting, you know, point with the technology, with AI, with regulations, you know, coming in there. So we believe 2024 will be the year where, you know, we call it like the iPhone moment in healthcare, where suddenly you'll see like a new genre of apps and everything coming together. So as our company, we are really focused on developing partnerships and working with other like-minded partners that are looking at it the same way. So working with interoperability companies, there is no one single vendor that will be able to solve this. So we are really interested. If you have an idea, you are working on some initiative, we would like to just, you know, talk to you, collaborate with you. How can we bring it together? You know, we have a number of providers, number of other clients that we work with today in different capacities, number of EHRs that we work with. So, but we really believe in that the biggest problems in healthcare will only be solved by partnerships, not by one or two companies. So that's really our goal, is to say, how can we work with the best of the best and you know, kind of bring some solutions to the market that ultimately provides better, you know, healthcare for all.
That's interesting you saying partnerships. That's what I keep hearing going at some of the conferences I've been to this year. And even companies obviously have their, you know, believe in their solutions, but there still seems to be a really broad sense that, you know, you're going to have to collaborate. You're going to have to work with partners to really move healthcare forward.
Yeah. I mean, and Ron, that's the question we get a lot, is like, you know, when we're defining our solution, they, oh, someone else does it too. I'm like, yeah, they do it great. And you know what? We are actually working at a client with them together. You know, it's all about complete data, getting the data complete. No one has the complete picture. So partnerships is a great is definitely a huge thing that needs to happen for you know, to solving these problems. And it's not just at a, you know, a nation level, it's at the international level. If, again, COVID taught us one thing, is that you know, the viruses and the bacteria don't know international boundaries. So, you know, that collaboration has to happen at a global level. And that's something that, you know, we are working with and are really proud of some of the partners that we are working with.
Well, hi. Well, this time really flew, but thanks so much for taking some time with us and talking about it. We covered a lot of ground, but thanks so much for taking some time. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for having again, Ron. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Databook, a podcast by Chief Healthcare Executive, a brand of MJH Life Sciences. You can subscribe to Databook wherever you get your podcasts. For latest news, insights, and analysis of the healthcare industry, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. I'm Ron Southwick, Senior Editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.